As we were prepping this time of celebration, the biggest thing that our focus was on is we're not celebrating a man. Because I knew that this man would come up here and put a kibosh on the whole thing if he smelled that for an instant. But like Mr. Jackson said, it is a specific blessing we are celebrating today. And when I would talk to people about, you know, Pastor Leo, one word always came up. I mean, actually, it was two. It was servanthood and perseverance. And I was told specifically I had to preach on one of them. But servanthood, we hear those all the time. They're a blessing to listen to, don't get me wrong, but perseverance on the other hand. And I feel if you're going to describe a man in ministry in any one word, it'd be perseverance. Like the video was saying, people don't stick around in ministry anymore. They don't. The average lifespan of a senior pastor, I think, is about 5. The average lifespan of a youth pastor, about 3. It takes you about 2 just to remember people's names. So if I'm still forgetting your name, I'm sorry, but I'm still in my window. But I was like, man, like, where do you go about perseverance? Where do you go? New Year's resolution. I was like, man, that's a good place to start. Did you know that about 68% of the people who make a New Year's resolution break it by February 1st? They barely make it a month. And they're like, well, that's done. Let's try again next year. And the two biggest reasons they gave were a self-aware lack of discipline and a lacking of proper time to follow through. And I'm like, man, those two sound really the same thing. Lack of discipline and a lacking of proper time to follow through. We all have 24 hours. We all have the same amount of time, but for some odd reason, Dave Garrett can get so much more done in a day than I can. He can work 40 hours in a day and, you know, I get 8. But perseverance. And there's a great theologian that I'd like to introduce you to. You probably have not heard him ever speak. You've probably never heard him, you know, write any books. But, man, he hits perseverance right on the money.
You used to fit right here. I'd hold you up to say to your mother, this kid's going to be the best kid in the world. This kid's going to be somebody better than anybody ever knew. And you grew up good and wonderful. It was great just watching you. Every day was like a privilege. Then the time come for you to be your own man and take on the world, and you did. But somewhere along the line, you changed. You stopped being you. You let people stick a finger in your face and tell you you're no good. And when things got hard, you started looking for something to blame, like a big shadow. Let me tell you something you already know. The world ain't all sunshine and rainbows. It's a very mean and nasty place, and I don't care how tough you are, it will beat you to your knees and keep you there permanently if you let it. You, me, or nobody is gonna hit as hard as life. But it ain't about how hard you hit. It's about how hard you can get hit and keep moving forward. How much you can take and keep moving forward. That's how winning is done. Now, if you know what you're worth, now go out and get what you're worth. But you got to be willing to take the hits and not pointing fingers saying you ain't where you want to be because of him or her or anybody. Cowards do that, and that ain't you. You're better than that.
Heavenly Father, we're here to celebrate a blessing that you've given to us. We're here to celebrate what you've done in the life and ministry of Leo and Martha Galetta. But Lord, it means nothing without you. This ministry is pointless if you're not the center of it. Our perseverance means nothing if we're not striving to be more like you. But Father, as we continue in this service, continue in this celebration, that's what it would be about. It would be about you and knowing more about you, striving to be more like your son, striving to know you better, and being excited about doing it. Father, I pray all these in your name. Amen. Talking to you about perseverance. And chose a boxing background. Not just because that was Rocky Balboa, you know, from the Rocky films, but because it's all about who's in your corner. When you talk about perseverance, it's about who's in your corner. It's about why, what's driving you, what's making you do it. Now, perseverance, the definition of it is steady persistence in a course of action, a purpose, a state, etc., especially in spite of difficulties, obstacles, or discouragement. There's two parts to that. Number one, there's got to be a clear goal in mind. There's got to be something you are striving for. And then to have perseverance, there's got to be difficulty. Got to be difficulty. Those are the two parts that you need for perseverance. Now, as we get into the scriptures, we're going to look at some examples of perseverance, and then we're going to look at the two sides of perseverance. So, if you're taking notes, which I know at least four of you are, the title for today is Who's in Your Corner? So, if you want to open up to James 1, verse 12, and it says this, "Blessed is the man who remains steadfast under trial, for when he has stood the test, he will receive the crown of life which God has promised to those who love him. Let no one say when he is tempted, 'I am being tempted by God,' for God cannot be tempted with evil. And he himself tempts no one, but each person is tempted when he is lured, and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." So that word blessed, it means to be enabled by God to do God's will. So when you read through the Beatitudes in Matthew, blessed is the man, blessed is the man, blessed is the man. It's enabled by God to do God's will if that man is doing this, if the woman is doing this. So as you read this, blessed is the man who remains steadfast. So enabled by God to do God's will is the man who remains steadfast. The very nature of being able to do God's will is perseverance. That's because this world doesn't want us to do God's will. Like Rocky was saying, this world will beat you down, especially if you're a Christian. But there's something he didn't include. Because this is why, you know, I read all of, you know, verse 13 to 15 of James, is because it's not the world beating us down. It's our sinful nature that wants to beat our Christian nature into oblivion. That's why Paul always says that there's a battle inside. There are two laws at nature within our body. One to do God's will and one not to do God's will. Perseverance is not needed necessarily for an outside world. It's needed for when I'm alone and I am enticed to stray away from what God has in store for me. Perseverance is needed when I'm by myself, when nobody's around. That's when perseverance is needed. Steadfast under trial, that's perseverance. You're striving for something. You're heading towards something. That's exactly perseverance. Verses 13 talks about it. "Let no one say he is tempted by God when he is tempted. I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one." Now, that word tempt is testing, trying. It's like when you are testing gold or silver or precious metals to see how pure it is. That's what it means. It is that testing, that refining of thing. And you're pulling out the impurities to make it pure. But also it can be to you're pulling out the bad stuff. You're bringing to the bad stuff to surface. It can be you're pulling out the good or the bad is the Greek. So when Paul is saying, or James is saying, "I am being tempted by God, for God cannot be tempted with evil, and he himself tempts no one. But each person is tempted when he is lured away and enticed by his own desire." Our own sinful nature wants us to give up and to give in to whatever our sinful nature wants. We need perseverance against our own body. We need perseverance against our own nature. I've talked with the teens, and I was like, guys, you think if the world is bad, your own heart's trying to kill you. Your own body's giving you up. It wants what it wants. That's why there has to be another nature within us. Galatians 5:24 says that those who are in Christ Jesus can overcome their desires because of the death of Jesus Christ. That's the Mark Benson paraphrase. How about we not get the paraphrase? Galatians 5:24 says, and those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with its desires and passions. The only way we can really have perseverance, the only way we can really strive to be godly, if we have God. We're celebrating 20 years of Pastor Leo Galletta ministering here. That could be any one of us. Because it's not by his strength. Yeah, he's received the particular calling to be the pastor here. God's laid on him the messages to bring to us. But the perseverance is not of him. It's of God. It's because so many years ago, he was called out of a lifestyle. And he chose to use his life to say thank you to God. Martha as well. She said, I will submit to my husband. I will lift him up in every way, shape, and form that I can because God has lifted me up. So I can do it because God's done it in me. So that those who endure temptation rightly endure it because they love God. They say to themselves, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? They cannot fall into sin because it would grieve him who loves them so well and whom they love with all their heart. That's Charles Spurgeon. The reason we can have persistence is because we have chosen to love God. A non-believer, a person who does not have a relationship with Jesus Christ, can't have perseverance. Now they can endure hardships. Maybe they'll, go through a little bit of pain, but their goal is different. See, remember, perseverance has two parts. There's a clear goal, and then there's struggles and trials. Our clear goal should be to be like Jesus Christ. Our clear goal should be to make much of our God and Father. It should not be to be in the world and get all that we can. It should not be to get to the head of the corporate ladder. Now, don't get me wrong. You got to provide for the family. But that shouldn't be your goal in life. That shouldn't be what you struggle over to attain. For a couple of examples, I want you guys to turn over to 2 Kings chapter 6, verses 14 to 23. And it starts off with, so he sent their horses and chariots and a great army, and they came by night and surrounded the city. When the servant of the man of God rose early in the morning and went out, behold, an army with horses and chariots was all around the city. And the servant said, alas, my master, what shall we do? He said, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. Then Elisha prayed and said, O Lord, please open his eyes that he may see. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountains were full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elisha. When the Syrians came down against him, Elisha prayed to the Lord and said, please strike this people with blindness. So he struck them with blindness in accordance with the power of Elisha. And Elisha said to them, this is not the way, and this is not the city. Follow me, and I will bring you to the man whom you seek. And he led them to Samaria. As soon as they entered Samaria, Elisha said, O Lord, open the eyes of these men that they may see. So the Lord opened their eyes, and they saw, and behold, they were in the midst of Samaria. As soon as the king of Israel saw them, he said to Elisha, my father, shall I strike them down? He answered, you shall not strike them down. Would you strike down those whom you have taken captive with your sword and your bow? Set bread and water before them that they may eat and drink and go to their master. So he prepared for them a great feast. And then when they had eaten and drunk, he sent them away, and they went to their master. And the Syrians did not come again on raids into the land of Israel. So what's going on? The king of Syria had been trying to take out the king of Israel. And he set up ambushes, he set up camps all around the nation, waiting for the king of Israel to come by, and he would attack and kill him. Sounds like a pretty valid battle plan. But Elisha kept receiving a word from God, and he would send it on to the king of Israel, saying, don't go this way, king of Syria is there. Don't go that way, the king of Syria is there. And so finally, the king of Syria got sick and tired of it and said, listen, we got a mole somewhere. Guy said, no, it's this prophet. He's telling the king where you are. He's telling him all your secrets. So, king of Syria decides it's time to go kill Elisha. That brings us to where we just read. Comes at him with a great army, surrounds the whole city, getting ready to destroy everyone to kill, make sure Elisha's dead. But then, Elisha's prayer was not for God's protection. It was actually for the eyes of his servant to be open to see the protection that's already there. God revealed the protection that he already had in place for his servant. God was the one who blinded the Syrians and enabled Elisha to lead his army into Samaria, where they were captured, fed, and released. It was by God's power that no longer were the Syrians giving issue to Israel. It was by God's goodness that they had protection. Sometimes perseverance means stopping what you are doing and praying over your trouble. You think these church services don't go off without a hitch because, you know, we're just that good? Not even remotely. And if you think they go off without a hitch, man, come on a Thursday evening sometime. We'll see how good they go. No. They are bathed in prayer from Sunday evening till about Sunday morning. The week's service is prayed over. That's why prayer meeting is so important. That's why your personal prayer life is so important. Because without it, wouldn't happen. Without it, there wouldn't be anything that we could do. It's that hedge of protection that God gives us. And if we are his, and if we have that relationship with him, it's there already. What we need to do is we need to be praying like Elijah, saying, God, reveal this protection to me. You know, we'll get hit with something hard. We'll get hit with a trouble or something, and we'll just be like, God, I can't go on anymore. And the potential for chaos in our lives is so much more. Just like the servant, all he could see was the troubles in front of him. But then God opened his eyes, and he saw the mountains filled with the armies of God. He had taken his eyes off of the God whom he served and put him on his troubles. Perseverance means we need to stop and pray over our troubles. 1 Samuel 14 is another example. 1 Samuel chapter 14, verse 6 through 15. 1 Samuel 14, verse 6. Jonathan said to the young man who carried his armor, come, let us go over to the garrison of these uncircumcised. It may be that the Lord will work for us. For nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few. And his armor bearer said to him, do all that is in your heart. Do as you wish. Behold, I am with you heart and soul. Then Jonathan said, behold, we will cross over to the men, and we will show ourselves to them. If they say to us, wait until we come to you, then we will stand in our place, and we will not go up to them. But if they say, come up to us, then we will go up to, for the Lord has given them into our hand, and this shall be the sign for us. So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines, and the Philistines said, look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes where they have hidden themselves. And the men of the garrison hailed Jonathan and his armor bearer and said, come up to us, and we will show you a thing. And Jonathan said to his armor bearer, come up after me, for the Lord has given them into the hand of Israel. Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer after them. And they fell before Jonathan, and his armor bearer killed them after him. And that first strike, which Jonathan and his armor bearer made, killed about 20 men within, as it were, half a furrow's length in the acre of land. And there was a panic in the camp, in the field, and among all the people. The garrison and even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked and became a very great panic. So, yet again, what's going on? The Philistines had been ruling over the nation of Israel with an iron thumb. And they were pressing them down, and they were torturing them, and you know, they wanted nothing good for these people. So much so that the Israelites had resulted in hiding from them. Even the king of Israel was hiding in a hole with his army. Jonathan purposed in his heart. Remember, first part of perseverance is having a clear purpose. He purposed in his heart to do something great for God, so he moved out. He ensured God was with him before he left. It says at the end of verse 6, "It may be that the Lord will work for us, for nothing can hinder the Lord from saving by many or by few." Mind you, when you're hiding in a hole, there's probably not a lot to do. Jonathan was probably praying a lot. And it was burdening in his heart and burdening his heart. And when he left, he didn't tell his father, who was the king. He didn't tell the army. He didn't bring everybody. He brought his armor bearer. And he said, "Listen, we're going to go, and we're going to go do something great for God." And he had come to this place where he could see the camp on the other side, and it was a garrison, which normally held a large amount of people. And then God answered his prayers. He put God to, let's call it a test, saying, trying to ascertain God's desire for him, saying, "All right, God, are they going to come to us, or are we going to go up to them?" And God said, "You're going to go up to them." Mind you, where they were actually was a perfect place for an ambush. So it would have been so much better for the Philistines to come down, because it where it was a narrow place. Anybody ever seen the movie 300? Kind of the same concept. You have this massive army having to get bottlenecked down, where it's easy for a few men to massacre them, which in war, that's what you want. But God said, "No, I don't want you down here. I don't want you trusting in yourself. I want you to go up there." But here's the craziest thing. As I was studying this, you notice this phrase. "But if they say, 'Come up to us,' then we will go up for the Lord." So both of them showed themselves to the garrison of the Philistines. And the Philistines said, "Look, Hebrews are coming out of the holes." Verse 13. "Then Jonathan climbed up on his hands and feet, and his armor bearer after him." So this guy is strapped for war, and here he is crawling up the mountainside, climbing up to do something great for God. It wasn't an easy task. He was leaving his defensive place, this place for a perfect ambush, where it made sense for God to bring these people down, and they could annihilate them. But God said, "No, I want you to do something even better. I want you to climb up, and I want you to destroy them on their own turf." And these two men, one an armor bearer, one Jonathan, killed 20 of the Philistines. And this is even, it gets even crazier. Verse 15, "And there was panic in the camp, in the field, and there was panic among all the people. The garrison and even the raiders trembled. The earth quaked, and it became a very great panic." And what leads after this is all of a sudden the nation of Israel rises up and they destroy the Philistine. All because one man stepped out to do something great for God. It was not Jonathan that was to work with some help from God. It wasn't Jonathan doing it. But rather, it was the Lord that was to work by Jonathan. And that's from W.G. Blakely. Sometimes perseverance means stop praying and doing something about your trouble. Sometimes it means, God, you have prayed over it. He's told you what to do, and it's time to move out. Sometimes it's time to move out and do something about it. Not do it in your own strength, but you've prayed. You've sought counsel. People have given you advice. And it's time to move. Hebrews 12. This is kind of the quintessential verse on perseverance. Hebrews 12, verse 1 says this: "Therefore, since we are surrounded by so great a cloud of witnesses, let us also lay aside every weight and sin which clings so closely to us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God." So that's taking my homiletics course, or any Bible study course. Professor said, when you come to the word therefore, you have to figure out what it's there for. So what you do is you go to the previous chapter. And the previous chapter speaks of 16 people by name. It also includes, you know, those extras, the prophets and teachers and preachers of old. But Hebrews 11 is what's known as the Hall of Faith, who persevered through so many difficulties. Why? Because they believed there was something greater. They were looking towards the goal and said, this doesn't matter because there's something greater ahead of me. This struggle, this problem that I'm facing now, there's something so much greater ahead. Perseverance isn't just about who's in your corner, it's about your goal. It's about being encouraged from behind and ahead of you. We can't do it alone. The Old Testament believers looked forward to the coming fulfillment of God's word. The New Testament believers looked forward to the coming fulfillment of God's word. We as well look towards the coming fulfillment of God's word. Now, Old Testament, they were looking towards the birth of the Savior. New Testament, we're looking for the coming of the church, the coming of the Holy Spirit, the return of Christ. We're looking for the return of Christ. We have the entire word of God. We don't need to look for another prophecy or another teaching other than what's in here. I've heard Pastor Leo say it at least a dozen times. That means over the years, you've probably heard it 20 dozen times. That if it's new, it's probably not true. You can't. If somebody's not teaching what this is teaching, well, the Old Testament said you were supposed to take them outside the village and stone them. Now, I'm kind of glad we don't do that anymore. But I think there'd be a lot more death in churches. But if somebody's not preaching this, they're not preaching. They're up there giving a seminar. And probably not when you should be at. But this is what we have. This is what we can look towards. We don't need to rely on the self-help books at Barnes & Noble. We don't need to, you know, be energized by, you know, this awesome song. We got this. God behind us. God in front of us. God around us, protecting us. Like Elijah, showing the protection all around him. Perseverance is nothing if we lose sight of what we're going for. Remember the two parts of perseverance: striving for something and then the difficulty. Now I dare say a lot of you probably face difficulties on a daily basis. I've sat with people and they've told me about the history of this church. And I'm like, man, kind of painful. But the painful memories that you guys have gone through, the painful times that Pastor Leo and Martha have gone through, it's made them who they are today. And if that is what God allowed, it's because of the goal that was set before them. It was because they were to be more like Jesus Christ. It's because that's what we want to be. That's why we can struggle. That's why we can go through things. It's because I want to be like Jesus Christ. I don't need a million-dollar house. I want to be like Jesus Christ. It'd be nice to have $1 million house, but that's fine. If your goal is to be Jesus Christ, nothing else matters, because that's where perseverance come from. That's where there's going to be perseverance. If you have that relationship with Jesus Christ, and that is your end goal, is to be more like him, all these things, all this pain that you endure, is nothing in light of the cross. And that's what Jesus, that's what Hebrews 12, 2 says. Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him. What was the joy that was set before him? Reestablishing a relationship with God. Saving us from our sin. For the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is now seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Endured the cross. The cross was not just the painful medical, you know, pain that he felt when the nails went through his hands or his feet. It wasn't just about the beating that he received from the soldiers or the flogging. This man who had never, ever, ever, ever been separated from his father suddenly cried out, God, why have you forsaken me? He had never been separated from his father. That was the pain that he knew he was going to go through. He was going to be separated from his father. That's something we should take notice of. And yet he said, I'll do it because it will bring many to you. Who's in your corner? Who are you relying on to encourage you? Are you relying on Pastor Leo or Martha or one of the deacons? Are you relying on your spouse or your kids? I promise you, at one point in time, they're all going to fail. We're all going to fail at one point in time. When you need somebody in your corner, it's got to be the one that can always be there, that is protecting you from more than you'll ever know or see. It's got to be Christ. It's got to be God Almighty, who not only can know what you're going through, but can do something about it. Remember, sometimes we need to stop and pray over our troubles, because that brings the power of God into the situation. But then other times, we need to stop praying and do something about our trouble. Being on course towards an object is the first part of perseverance. That's living a life that's pleasing to God. Or maybe if you're in ministry, that's leading a church that is both biblically sound and relevant. Difficulties that could come is our own desires enticing us to enjoy things that God calls us away from. Remember, in James, where it is not the outside world that will, you know, try to rip us away from God. It's going to be ourselves that's going to rip us away from God. Our own sinful nature is going to want to say, well, that's not comfortable. This Holy Spirit inside of you is going to be like, well, yep. But if it was comfortable, it ain't going to change you. And right now, you got to be changed. Maybe if you're in ministry, it's people being overly critical. Maybe it's not wanting to come out of your comfort zone. I want you to turn over, and in closing, I want you to turn over to Romans 8, verse 31. What then shall we say to these things? If God is for us, who can be against us? He who did not spare his own son, but gave him up for us all, how will he not also with him graciously give us all things? Who shall bring any charge against God's elect? It is God who justifies. Who is to condemn? Christ Jesus is the one who died. More than that, who was raised? Who is at the right hand of God? Who indeed is interceding for us? Who shall separate us from the love of God? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or nakedness or danger or sword? As it is written, for your sake, we are being killed all the day long. We are regarded as sheep to be slaughtered. No. In all these things, we are more than conquerors through him who loved us. For I am sure that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor rulers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor powers, nor height, nor depth, nor anything else created in all creation will be able to separate us from the love of God in Christ Jesus our Lord. You're going through a hard time. Remember, you're still in the hands of God. if you have a relationship with him. If you don't, beg you, please see someone today. Do not leave this place thinking, I'm all alone. Because you can have someone in your corner. You can have someone who's fighting a fight for you, and you're just getting the little things that he allows them. Don't think there's nobody in your corner. Let God be in your corner. Let him supply the strength you need. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we're unworthy to be called your sons and daughters. Lord, you fight for us. You surround us with protection. You surround us with grace, mercy. We are so undeserving. Lord, you do it because you love us and you cherish us. And you want us closer. You want us more like your son. And I pray that that would be our goal, that we would strive for today. Lord, I pray for all of us. I thank you so much for Pastor Leo and Martha, for their faithful ministry here, for the perseverance you've put in them, for being in their corner, for them being a shining example of what it means to live a life surrendered to Christ. Lord, more importantly, I pray if there's anyone in here who does not know you as Lord and Savior, that they would cry out to you now. They would cry out to you today. They would not leave this place without knowing for certain that they can have a relationship with you and that you fight for them. And I pray all these things, their precious holy name. Amen.